Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda. On Thursday, December 27th, 2018, episode 14.17, the NFL Week 17 show. If you thought Week 15 was crazy, then Week 16 was absolutely bonkers. The Seahawks did me in again, not only in the challenge game, but on my parlay card. Ouch. The Steelers might have sealed their own fate with a loss to the Saints, while the Ravens came out to L.A. on a beautiful Saturday and beat the Chargers. The Eagles beat the Texans with a last-second field goal, much to my chagrin, in a game that didn't matter. The Raiders beat Denver in what might have been their final game in Oakland. Did I mention Seattle wrecked my weekend again? At least the Dallas Cowboys clinched the NFC East. We'll discuss Baker Mayfield's childish behavior towards Hugh Jackson on the field, Antonio Brown changing his jerseys from brown to browns on Twitter, and Ravens safety Eric Weddle has a crazy $1 million incentive bonus. We'll talk about that. That's right, $1 million.
What?
Let's chop it in.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Steve Fry with NFL Rants and Raves.
That's right, Emma. I said $1 million.
What?
How would you like to have an incentive in your contract like that? If this happens and this happens, you get $1 million.
I would very much like that. I would want it to be something I could actually succeed in and attain, yes.
I'm actually going into the office tomorrow to talk to my manager about how I can write a $1 million incentive contract into my incentive bonus into my contract.
Yes.
I don't know how that's going to work, seeing as I don't actually really have a contract with my employer, but I'm going to get one written.
It'll be interesting to see if they can give you anything attainable.
If I save the company $25 million from the IT side, they have to pay me $1 million. How about that?
Probably not going to happen.
I might be able to save the company $25 million.
Let me rephrase that. I don't question your ability to possibly save them. They're not going to give you $1 million to save $25 million.
They get $24 million out of
that. What is Universal's annual revenue? If for every $25 million they save, they gave an employee $1 million bonus, they would be paying a lot of bonuses somewhere.
Well, I'm not saying that they're going to do it for everybody. I'm just saying
you.
They're going to do it for me.
Yes.
Say I'll save them $25 million, they give me $1 million.
If you can produce another $800 million box office hit, they'll give you $1 million
bonus. They might give me $1 million bonus for that. That's
I would hope if you're producing it, you're getting more than $1 million.
That's true. All right, so here's Eric Weddle's incentive.
I have not heard this, so okay. I'm very interested.
So safety Eric Weddle of the Baltimore Ravens, if in the same season he makes the Pro Bowl and the Ravens go to the playoffs, he gets $1 million. And the Pro Bowl roster has been announced, and lo and behold, safety Eric Weddle has been put into the Pro Bowl as the starting safety for the AFC side.
That doesn't seem like a terribly hard bar to clear.
It's the incentive the Ravens gave him.
Right.
Here we are. They're one win away. They win and they're in. Outside of El Juego Gigante, which we'll talk about in a minute, where win and you're in. The Ravens have that same scenario in front of them. They beat the Browns. They get into the playoffs. Oh, and they got to write a $1 million check to safety Eric Weddle.
Hey, how much do they make off of sales and TV revenue and whatever?
They're going to make a ton of money by making the playoffs.
Probably not $25 million, going back to your bonus.
It's a lot more than $25 million.
You think that the team makes more than $25 million for a single wild card playoff week?
Yes. Do you know how much each team made last year just from the television broadcast rights?
No.
Close to $300 million. Just for the year.
Each team?
Each team. every team was handed $300 million by the NFL just because of the money that they made from their broadcast deal.
All right.
So you add playoff time. You're going to make a ton of money. Just look at what the Cowboys tickets that went on sale for their playoff game. And this is just a wild card game, right? They're going to get to host a wild card game. Tickets went on sale. The cheapest ticket was $200.
Okay.
And and the Dallas Cowboys, trust me, their standing room only tickets, which are usually $29, they're selling for $50. You know how many of those they're going to sell? A ton. But
So what does Jerry World hold?
For the playoffs, he'll probably comfortably put 88,000 in there.
All right, so that's if every ticket goes for 200, and I know full well not every ticket goes for 200. That's almost $18 million.
Yeah,
right?
And that's the cheap. Are the cheap seats.
That's what I say. Is that is assuming all 88,000 tickets are going for $200.
Right.
And I know many of them are going for multiples.
Plus concessions, plus everything else that they're going to sell there.
All right, you're right.
It's amazing. But Eric Weddle, good for him.
Yes,
I mean,
congratulations.
I'm gonna make the Pro Bowl, which is hard to do in the AFC. You got some pretty good safeties over there in the AFC. But it makes the Pro Bowl. Now his team's one win away. He gets $1 million. And you know what? You know what his comment was? I would trade the $1 million just if I could get into the playoffs. So I'm actually going to try and call him tomorrow and say, if I guarantee that the Ravens win on Sunday and you win on Sunday, will you donate your $1 million to me?
Yeah, I'm sure his number is listed. Good luck with that.
I know his number's not listed. I have means.
You have.
I have.
You know people.
Know people who can get me in contact with people who have his number.
Yeah. Yeah, by Saturday, you might get his number.
All right, Eric. Well, that was good. So, Steve, the Cowboys are in.
Cowboys
are
in. Congratulations.
Two weeks, I am good. I am good for this week because I don't really care what happens with the Giants game, even though I'm picking them and you're not. So, maybe a challenge game. No. It's not going to be the challenge game.
No.
I know Jason Garrett. He's going to throw everybody out there for like two series, and then he's going to pull everybody.
Anyway, we'll get there.
We'll get there. So, anyways, there's that. But I really didn't check in with you after last week, and we knew that the Packers season was officially over. Are you okay? Are you going to be able to hang in there through the Super Bowl with this?
So it was one of those where it was a slow burn on the Packers season being over.
Right.
Like, at no point did I feel they were ever in playoff hunt. So they 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, they were still mathematically in it.
In it, yes.
Yeah, no. Packer season has been done for 4 weeks now.
Okay. So last week it didn't just kill you and it just.
Right. It wasn't devastating that, now that they're done, they're done.
I see.
Yeah.
So here's what my problem has been, you know, in the past doing the show. Is that once the Cowboys, you know, there were some years where the Cowboys were, you know, 7-9 a lot. And I knew immediately, like week 15, the season's over. And I'll tell you a little bit about the numbers of the show. It starts high. And by about week 10, when teams start kind of falling off and, you know your team is 2-8.
Yep.
And there's no way they're climbing out of that cellar. We start losing numbers. And that's. It's been like that from year one all the way to this year. No indication of as to why other than people stop caring about the football season once their team's no longer in it. So you doing the show now, and here we are, and it's week 17. It's going to be the first playoff season in a while, right? I mean, that the Packers aren't there.
Yep. It's weird because even after the Packers leave, once we hit playoff season, I enjoy watching the playoffs regardless of who's in. So I will watch. At a minimum, the game is on. I might be doing something else, but the game is on. I kind of have an idea of what's happening. So even if the Packers lose in the wild card weekend, the rest of the playoffs I watch. So once we get to next week, I'm back and charged up. The last couple Sundays have been pretty hard to sit down and
watch Wisconsin
games.
Football.
Wait. I'm sorry. Oh. I didn't see the game today yet. It's still recording. Or not still recording.
It's recorded. So I should shut up.
Yes. Please stop. The Pinstripe Bowl is done.
Sorry. Steven. I should know better. I should know better than to ask, are you live on the Wisconsin game? I should know better.
All those kids at home, we had sicknesses over Christmas, so we ended up delaying Christmas dinner. So today was our Christmas dinner, even though it's a couple days late.
I see. Okay. Well,
so the information you just gave me, I already had that. I should be excited. I just don't know details. So
you don't know details. Okay, I'm gonna shut it up.
I appreciate it, but no.
And on that note, Merry Christmas. We hope everybody had a Merry Christmas. Everyone out there listening, wherever in the world you're listening and however you're listening, thank you very much for continuing to be with Steve and I as we take you through this crazy season that has been the NFL. Because last week was just bonkers, man. That Saints-Steelers game and the Steelers having the chance to come and then Juju Smith fumbling the football. And I felt bad for Juju Smith, and then I got mad at myself for being, feeling bad for a USC player. And I was like, man, he's from USC. What you mad of? What you upset for?
You can still feel bad about a guy.
Okay, I felt a little bad for
Again,
Juju.
We go back to there's a difference between the player and the school.
And the school, all right.
Or more importantly, the players and the fans, right?
There you go.
So it's usually the fans that we associate with a certain team or city or something.
Correct.
Yes.
So there you go. It was a crazy
I don't dislike Tom Brady. But Patriots fans.
And the Patriots.
And the Patriots organization.
Man. All right. So Cowboys in the playoffs. We'll move on. Packers, no. And so your Super Bowl pick, would you like to have a mulligan? Because now, officially, both of your teams are now officially out. So
yes.
So we're going to have a mulligan. So what we'll do is we'll let Week 17 play out. We'll have our bracket. And then we'll have a mulligan on our Super Bowl.
Yeah, I hope we're going to repick our playoff bracket next week.
Yes, we will do that.
We know a little bit more information now than we did 18 weeks ago.
Correct. So we'll do that again. Baker Mayfield. Okay, it's been all over the internet and Twitter and ESPN and, Dan Patrick. Everybody's talking about it. He completes that, passed to Njoku at the end of the game that pretty much sealed the victory for the Browns. First of all, Baker, don't be so cocky. You were favored by 10. You were winning by a whole heck of a lot, and you wound up not covering. Okay, so one. But two, is it healthy to carry whatever grudge or upsetness or whatever it is he has towards Hugh Jackson?
Have we heard what happened in Cleveland before Hugh left that Baker would have these feelings?
Well, we know he was not very happy that Hugh chose Tyrod Taylor over him to start the season.
Okay.
So that's one. And that's all I know
about.
Welcome
to the NFL, kid. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
Yeah. I'm like, are you so spoiled and entitled that you felt that you were coming into Cleveland and it was your job automatically from the very beginning?
Right.
I don't know why you would, after the first time you beat, the Browns beat the Bengals, he didn't want to shake his hand, blew him off on the field. Okay, I get that.
Yep.
But why?
But he went over and handed him the ball in the first time they played, didn't he?
No. There was a, that Hugh had come over, there was some words, but there was like...
No, I thought in the first time that the Browns and Bengals played, Hugh was on the sideline, that Mayfield scored and then brought the ball back or something and handed it to Hugh.
I didn't see that.
On the sideline. I mean, they had an interaction the first time
they
played,
did?
Too.
I thought it was only after the game that they had the interaction.
No. It was during the game that he came over and...
Well, when asked...
Handed him the ball. He got a first down or a touchdown or something, handed him the ball. And it took Hugh a second to realize, and before he kind of, dropped the ball or handed it off to somebody or whatever. But but it was, yeah.
What are you doing? My thing is, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you showing 31 other teams how you're going to act towards someone who may or may not have slighted you in your mind? Because right now, as far as us not knowing what's going on with Baker Mayfield's mind, we don't know why he's acting this way towards you, other than you didn't start from the beginning of the season. I don't know if he thought that maybe Hugh lied it. I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah.
But this completion and then literally that stare down as he's running down the sideline looking at him is an eternity.
Right.
I mean, you look over at somebody and you look at him and you keep going. That's fine. He literally was 5 yards past him still looking backwards. That's a little childish to me.
So it's interesting because I think a lot of our industries, you know, workforces are big places.
Yes.
Organizations, companies that we work for can be very big companies. But when you get into a specialty, so you're working IT, I'm working in insurance in a very specific sector of the insurance industry.
Correct.
It becomes a very small world.
Yes.
So here, even though we're in the LA marketplace, there are probably 150 people that I compete with on a daily basis.
Right.
And I probably know 70% of them personally.
I can't tell you how many times I run into people that I've either worked for or interviewed for in other IT areas for other companies.
Yeah.
I mean,
and I can guarantee that the people I don't know people I know.
Yes.
So if I do something to wrong somebody in my industry, I say something wrong, tear down a desk on my way out the door as I quit or whatever it happens to be, that gets around.
It does.
And suddenly my reputation, when I'm suddenly 10 years later looking for a job at a company, that person is calling somebody I used to work with and saying, what about Steve? They might not go into that detail, but it's not going to be a, oh yeah, he's a great guy, you need to hire him. It's going to be a, well, who else are you looking at?
Yeah.
And that's all it takes.
Yep, that's it.
Baker, at some point, Hugh is going to show up somewhere in his world.
Yeah.
And by doing this, at some point, his career could very easily be negatively affected.
Because of how he's acting right now.
Yes.
100% agree.
He might not get an opportunity. He might be put under a quarterback competition when he probably shouldn't be.
Right.
Something can occur because he's being a punk.
Dude. You're not in college anymore. This is not Oklahoma.
This is now a career.
And you're starting your career as well as you're doing on the football field. Because I think he only needs like two or three, three touchdown passes to break Peyton Manning's touchdown pad rookie record for rookie quarterback.
Sure.
Which is incredible, seeing as he didn't start the season.
Yeah.
But this tainted relationship that you've made with Hugh Jackson, this looks really bad, kid.
Right.
It looks really, really bad.
I mean, unless there's something there where Hugh did something to personally slight him and not slight a dude with a big head.
Yeah.
But like if he dressed him down in a locker room in front of a bunch of guys for no reason or whatever it happens to be that we don't know about, maybe. But if it's just Hugh is Hugh.
Yeah.
And left the team, and now Baker is taking it upon his shoulders to show the ex-coach how much better we are without you.
Right.
Yeah, grow up, kid.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's exactly what I've got. Grow up, dude. I mean, if you're going to take a slight because someone didn't start you at the beginning of the season and went with a different quarterback, and this is how you're going to act, I wish the Cleveland Browns well.
Yes.
I like it because my sister and her husband and her kids – are all having a great time. I think they all got Baker Mayfield jerseys for Christmas. They're loving it. It's awesome. But that is just going to rub people the wrong way in the long run. Oh, and by the way, you have to play Cincinnati twice.
Yeah.
Think of what's going to happen to you next time you face those two. Next year when you got to play Cincinnati twice. Think they're not going to play that stare down that you just did, show them up a little bit? People remember. That's all
they
I'm
do.
Saying.
Yep.
All right, and finally, speaking of the Browns, Antonio Brown.
Oh, yes.
Well, I want to know if he would do this. Antonio Brown went on Twitter. He took his three jerseys, the yellow jersey, the white jersey, and then the prison guard jersey, you know, yep, with the stripes. And on the back it says Brown because that's his last name, Antonio Brown. And he added with like a piece of tape on at the end of each one and put an S for Browns. And he posted on Twitter basically cheering on the Browns because Pittsburgh needs the Browns to beat the Ravens this week. This is your arch rival. I mean, you hate the Browns. Now, I know you need them to win, but you're going to, like, publicly support them and cheer them on?
For 7 days, yes, I am.
Straight up, just like that, 7 days.
If I'm the Steelers, for 7 days, I'm a Browns fan.
Browns fan. Browns. Go Browns.
Come Monday morning, doesn't matter. Win or lose, we're back to what we were.
We're back to where we were before. But right now, we need to
If you lose, I hate you even more. If you win, all right, I might not trash talk quite as much the next time. Right. But, yes, it's
– okay. So you're okay with Antonio Brown publicly supporting an arch rival of Nemesis?
The passion of wanting his team to get in enough that he's willing to root for an arch rival for seven
all
days.
Right. Okay.
Yes, I will applaud that.
All right, that's good. That's good stuff. Because that's what he's done. And I'm not sure if I needed the Redskins to win so that the Cowboys could get into the playoffs. Ugh, I'm not sure I could publicly support them. I don't know if I could do it.
If I was in a situation where to get in the playoffs I needed the Bears to win, I would likely be doing my very best to root for whoever they're playing to lose.
Instead
but it would be very much, yeah, it would be very much focused on what Detroit
lose,
or Minnesota or whoever lose. Minnesota lose, you know, Detroit.
Yes.
But there would be no utterance of
go Bears,
go. Bears, go.
No, yeah.
It's not going to happen.
I could not. I don't think I could do that regarding the Reds. I just that's literally the one team. And by the way, people, we put the question up on Facebook. You all failed miserably. By the way. The question was, what is the one team that Steven absolutely hates? Week 3, I think, of this season. I told you who I absolutely hate. Everybody said the Patriots. No, I don't hate that. I dislike the Patriots a lot.
The Patriots have a special place in our hearts.
Yes,
as the evil empire.
But there is one team that I absolutely hate. And I don't use the word hate very much. There's not a lot of stuff
and you're
that
not,
I hate.
You're not a fan of the Giants or the Eagles either.
I'm not.
But
hate?
There's one team, yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
People say Redskins. I'm just
as a Packer fan, the Lions I'm not a fan of. The Vikings, yeah, I got some problems with. But
Bears?
There's one team. Growing up, there was a saying, on Sunday you root for the Packers and whoever's playing the Bears. That is
Cowboys
the two teams you root for.
Cowboys and who's ever playing the Redskins. The Cowboys can go 2-14 as long as those two victories are against Washington.
And since I know I got a lot of Bears friends that probably aren't listening because they don't know I'm doing this. Pretty sure
you haven't publicly put it out everywhere to the whole world.
Not to my friends. No, you don't know my friends.
Ah, because my friends would call in and email, and we'd be like yelling at
you.
Each
would
other.
Hear stories about me that I don't want out there anymore.
Oh,
there's a reason why
some
of these friends I don't
remain
stay in contact.
Hidden.
Yes,
I see. Okay, I don't want stories out there.
Remember, we had this conversation about Baker and grow
yes,
up.
Yes.
I could have used that advice about 15 years ago. All right.
Okay. All right. So that's all we've got today. I have no rant. I have no rave because I tried a non-rant, non-rave last week that
didn't go so well.
It
very quickly turned on you.
And I'm telling you right now, I don't have a lock for you this week, people. 3 straight weeks I have struggled. And this week, if you look at the lines, there's just not one that sticks out and says, this one is wrong and glaring. So we're going to get right to Week 17 picks. All games are on Sunday. Early games, late games, and one Sunday night football. And that's where we'll start. El Juego Grande Estupendo de la Semana. And I'm going to use this theme because it makes me happy. It's a happy game. That's it up. Woo. The Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans in a win, and you're in game. The loser goes home. The winner goes to the playoffs. and possibly might enjoy a Morenita later on after the playoffs. But winning, you're in. Losing, you go home. Indy at Tennessee. And right off the bat, you and I are clashing with this one.
Yeah. I mean, first of all of these games this week, the last couple of weeks, I felt pretty confident on games.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't necessarily mean I picked them right. What, week 15 had a really bad week, but
yeah.
Had a couple of really good weeks the back end of the season.
13-3 there last week, very
good.
So
felt very good about a lot of these picks. This week, like, half these games are a coin flip in my mind because there are just so many things that we won't know until kickoff.
The fact that we only differ on three games scares me.
Yes.
Because we could be really wrong.
This is the only one here that, since both teams have something to play for. I mean, most of the games, one team has something to play for.
Yes.
In one or two, both do. But in most games, one team has something to play for. This is the only one that both teams have something big to play for.
Yes. Win and you're in. Lose and you go home.
And I just don't know.
Tennessee. Marcus Mariota back at practice today.
Yep.
But we don't. I'm not sure how efficient he's
going
to be.
No. But I'm going with him for some reason.
I'm going with Andrew Luck. Even last week, they played awful against the Giants. Awful. And they found a way to win that football game. They had no business winning that football game.
And that's where I'm stuck on, because I keep hearing and reading the inspired football that the Colts are playing over the last couple weeks. And there's something special about this team. They're coming together. What, halftime last week, apparently Andrew Luck kept them in the locker room a few extra minutes to chew them out about how much they stink and they need to play better football and everything. And I didn't watch the game live, but I hear all this news about it. Well, I've got to go watch the game in 40 off of Game Pass.
Right.
I didn't see them come out at halftime and suddenly light it up.
Right.
They clawed their way back over the second half. And if they were playing the Rams or the Saints or the Chiefs, I would be all over the fact that they came back in the second half to win this game. They were playing the Giants.
Yes.
And I get the Giants have been playing tougher football. They haven't necessarily won more games. But
they're the 5-10 Giants.
Right.
So, yes. I was shocked to see how that game played out. But I also take into account, the week before, it was a 23-0 domination of the Cowboys.
Sure.
And that goes with you the next week. They might have gone into that week just a little bit more overconfident than they had been all season long. And you come in with that cocky swagger, and the Giants all of a sudden go up 14-0, punch you in the mouth, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. What?
Takes a bit to recover. Sure.
What's going on here? Why are we down 14-0? You know, it was kind of that kind of thing. And for them to come back and win that football game, I just think Andrew Luck, divisional matchup here, he's owned Tennessee pretty much of late. I have to take the Colts. I'm not very confident in it because Tennessee's defense has been pretty outstanding, but I'm going to take the Colts.
I forgot to look up what the Titans-Colts record was as of late.
You do that while I look at the odds for this game. The Colts are favored by a field goal, which, that's interesting. Indy -3 and an over-under of 43 points.
Wow. All right. I might have a problem with my pick. All right, so
what is the
in the last three games, the Titans are 2-1. Okay, but then going back to 20.
But now remember, in the last three games, Andrew Luck didn't play two of them.
Okay, details. It's an accurate point, and I'm not disputing it. But
now
tell me the record: 11.
11 straight wins.
So since 2012. The Titans are 2-11 against the Colts. So, so over the long run, I get your point.
Yeah,
so
over the long run, the Colts have really dominated this team. I don't have the records in front of me or like the stats for those games, but I'm going to go out on a limb here and say that those two games were without Andrew Luck last year. I think.
Let's see.
You can tell me. I know you can. Because you got, he's Mr. Numbers, people. He's got, he crunches data all day long. Yeah. That's what he does.
No, it's going to be hard for me to find that.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
No, I think you're right. I don't think he was on the field for either of those games. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. This is one where I didn't see the inspired football.
I don't like it. The Tennessee's at home. I don't like it. The Tennessee.
But it's going to be is Mariota really ready to go? Is he not? That's the other thing.
Because
there's just so much unknown about this game that I don't feel confident about either of these teams.
And I don't, you know, Bumblebee Tuna last week, that's what I call the back quarterback. I don't know his name.
Yeah.
Bumblebee Tuna for Tennessee, I don't know, you know, if he can match up with Andrew Luck. I'm going to stick with the Colts. I'm fine. I'm sticking with Andrew Luck.
I'm going to stick with who I've got only because they're at home.
All right.
But that's zero confidence in my pick.
This is Sunday Night Football. Well, if you are around this week, I think you should come watch this game over here.
We may have to.
We'll plan something. We'll have dinner for the
yes.
for the families. We'll all eat, and then we'll watch the game and stuff. Or we'll just order pizzas or something.
Something.
Beers, wine, margaritas.
Beer. Beer. All right. Sorry.
All right. I'm still just admiring. Can you hand me my phone? I'm going to tell you people. If you're not following me on Facebook, you should, because look at my moon. All right. I have a thing for the moon. I'm just going to just tell you all right now. I have loved the moon.
He has a man crush on the moon.
Ever since I was a kid, and I've been wanting to take real close-up photos of the moon. And with a Christmas present to myself, and then an awesome telephoto lens Christmas present for my wife, I have been able to take some really, really cool shots of the moon, and I'm posting them up on Facebook. You should check them out. Dude, I took a picture of a tree up at the top of the mountain, and it looks like I was standing right next to it. It's kind of scary, a little creepy. I might start creeping people out because it looks like I'm pointing at their house when I'm not. I'm pointing up at the mountain.
Your neighbors all have blinds, right? I'm just asking.
I think they do. But anyways, that's a moon shot.
And if they don't, they should. For all of you listening, if you live across the street.
I do not. I'm not a peeping Tom.
Yeah.
Why was the peeper named Tom? Why was it? Is there a story behind it? Why did he call him peeping Tom?
I don't have that.
Come on, man.
I'm sorry.
You got Google right there. Why is it peeping Tom?
I'm busy going back to Tennessee and Indianapolis real quick. Your unknown quarterback, Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, my God. How can I forget Blaine Gabbert? Don't be confuse him with Blake Bortles, who isn't playing for Jacksonville anymore. I'm sorry. Oh, my God.
So last week he was 7 completions, 11 attempts, 101 yards, 63% completion for an average of 9 yards per. A touchdown, no interceptions. A rating of 123.7. So he didn't stink.
Yeah, but I don't know.
He wasn't great.
Blake Gabbert. Peeping Tom, Lady Godiva. That's what it's about.
Okay.
Do you know the story? Do you know the story of Lady Godiva?
I do not.
Naked Through the Streets of Coventry, and no one was supposed to look at her. She wanted a naked ride through the street, and everyone were not going to look, but there was a Peeping Tom. His name was Tom. He had a peep, and that's why there it is.
All right.
Peeping Tom. Stupid Peeping Tom.
Not just football here on Rants and Raves.
You learn about all kinds of when we tangent, we go all the way, baby.
Yeah. when we take that right turn, we're serious about that right turn.
We're going to get you to the destination. Why do we say Peeping Tom? That's what I Googled this lady. All right. So, man, 34 minutes in the show.
All right. Well, it was a good show. Great guy. No,
thank you very much. I got Indy. You got Tennessee. El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana. Sunday Night Football. It's going to be good. Lady Ethan's
also sitting in here with Tennessee. So
let's get the families.
The
ladies of the families.
The ladies. Yes.
Talk. All right.
Get our better halves to actually coordinate us having to get together. So we can do it once a week, but twice a week is too much to ask for the two of us.
So let's get. I got to explain that there's change now. We have El Juego Gigante because that's the big game of the week.
Yes.
But then we've got games with playoff implications where one team has.
Or possibly both.
Possibly both, but I believe it's only.
Chicago, Minnesota.
Oh, that's right. Chicago, Minnesota. Yes. Possibly both, but mostly one team. They have to win for something good for them to happen. All right. Then we have games with no playoff implications. That's Carolina, New Orleans, Dallas at the New York Giants. One team's already in. Saints and Cowboys, then they kind of move. They're locked into 1-4. Then we have NAP games, also known as U-Haul games. Both teams are out of the playoffs. They're really not playing for anything other than where they're going to draft in next year's draft.
Yes.
All right. There you go. So we'll start with games with playoff implications. And we'll start in New England, where the Patriots are going to host the New York Jets.
This line is still 13.5.
I don't know why. I'll tell you what. Last week, one of my teams was Buffalo plus 13.5. Because I'm saying, look, I know the Patriots are going to win this game, but by 2 touchdowns, four, they got to win by 14? Not going to happen. And then they're actually winning. They were actually covering the spread. And the Bills scored a touchdown with a minute left. They just threw a ball and the dude caught it and it was a touchdown. I was like, well, thank you, because that's all I need. I don't even need you to kick the extra point. But I think the Jets are a little bit better football team. They certainly took Green Bay to the wire.
Yeah.
That was another one of my games last week at Green Bay -4. And I thought I was losing. Literally, I had written it off. I was like, oh, stupid Packers. What was I thinking? Taking the Packers. And
that'll teach you taking the Packers.
Yeah. And then they come back, and they tie it, and they go to overtime, and then they win with the six. They won by 6. I was like, all I need now is they're going to freaking kick a field goal. They're going to win by 3 and not cover. But they scored a touchdown. Very happy. Yeah, I'm going to take New England. I would, in my fantasy – the Jets upset New England and forced them to play in the wild card weekend. Because that's what I would love to see.
Yeah.
I want to see how Tom Brady would react coming out on wild card weekend and having to play and be like, are you kidding me? I'm 41. You're going to make me play an extra week?
Please give me a week off. The problem is the Patriots are the one team that I feel can rest starters effectively this week and still be ready to play, whether it be next week in the wild card or getting the bye.
Whoa, hold on. So what you're telling me is you think that the Patriots backups are going to be the Jets starters?
No. All right. Last year, Rams make the playoffs.
Yes.
They rest. McVay rests his guys week 17. So they played the wild card week, right?
They play Atlanta.
Right.
And they were not good.
And they weren't good.
Yes.
I think McVay learns a lesson from that. He doesn't rest his starters the entire game. He might not play them the entire game, but he at least plays a couple of series.
Yeah.
Might be the first half, might be 3 series, whatever it is.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
The starters are suiting up, they're going out, but they're not showing up on the sidelines in street clothes.
Yes.
I think the Patriots are the only team that could have their starters go out in street clothes this week and still be ready to play at 100% next week or the week after. As much as the Patriots have looked bad in the month of December, they've looked bad most Decembers.
Yeah.
Like, December is not their month. Brady looks, I mean, he goes out and he throws, 14 touchdowns and 7 interceptions through the month of December.
But
then he does 12 touchdowns with no interceptions through the playoffs. So it's like they can turn that team on immediately. So they're the one team that I think can rest.
But they have to win this game.
Well, right. So where I'm stuck on this is, look, I get that the lines are set to put the gambling on each side.
Right.
It's not the Vegas people saying, I think the Patriots are going to win by 13.5 or 14.
This number is going to give me money on both sides.
They're getting equal money on both sides. So I understand that concept. But at 13.5, there are a lot of people out there thinking the Patriots are really going to kick the Jets' rear end here. And I just don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen either.
I have no reason not to pick the Patriots, so I'm with you. I pick them, but I don't know why that line is what it is.
Yeah, The thing with did you see the play where Tom tried to, you know, throw the ball out of bounds and
yeah.
Sorry, I don't know why I'm having so much fun.
It shouldn't make you laugh that much to see another man's misery.
I know.
Or an ineptitude, which I mean, you and I couldn't get it any better than he did.
I could reach it out. Look, you see the mountain
with 11 other guys. 11 other guys chasing to knock your head off, and you think you can do better?
I can throw it out of bounds. That's for sure.
All right.
We both got the Patriots. And Lady Edith's got the Patriots. Everybody's on the Patriots. Everybody thinks the Patriots are going
to win. I'm starting to see a bet going on here that I'm going to have to coordinate.
You're going to coordinate.
Guys, 12 guys in pads.
Come after me.
One for Steven and 11 other guys coming after him. And see if he can throw the ball out of bounds.
He had blockers. He had some blockers.
Sure. We'll compensate for that. Oh boy, that's just that production value is above our budget.
Yeah,
at the moment,
it is.
So.
We might be able to handle it. I know some people who handle all the equipment for Pasadena City College football team.
It's like MythBusters for rants and raves or something, right?
MythBusters.
Can Steven throw a ball out of bounds with 11 guys trying to knock his head off?
Get sad. Okay, we all have the Patriots. I would love. And Jets fans and any Jets players who are listening, I would love for the Jets to win this football game. I would just love to see it because they win this football game, then that takes us to the next one. Jacksonville going to Houston. Jacksonville Jaguars travel to Houston to face the Houston Texans. If somehow the Jets were to win that game and beat New England and Houston wins this game over Jacksonville, which I've got them winning this game over Jacksonville, they will get the number 2 seed. Patriots fall to number 3, and they got to play wild card weekend.
I would love to see that.
And then the Patriots would have to play a team like who's going to
Chargers
be?
Or Chiefs.
Chargers? No, they would get the 6th seed. So they'd be 3.
You're right.
So they would get the 6th seed.
Indy or Tennessee.
I'm okay with that. I would love to see Andrew Luck
going to
Foxborough and play New England. Oh, man. Come on. Come on, Jets in Houston. Don't let me down. Although, I'm not really picking
I would
Jets.
Love to see Blaine Gabbert go in to pick to the Foxborough.
Oh, my God. Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, that would be fun.
Oh, I really hope, Mary. For the sake of Sunday Night Football and NBC, since my employer, I really hope Marcus Mariota plays in that football game Sunday night. Oh, gosh. Because all we need is, 33-0 at halftime, and everybody tuned it out.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they don't have any film on Blaine. And look, I'm hoping the Titans win this because I've got them. That's who I'm going with. So
you're going with the Titans. All right.
Whether it's Mariota or whether it's Gabbert, come on.
You got Houston in this game.
Yes.
So does Lady Edith. How does Jacksonville? Because Jacksonville surprised us last week with a win.
They did. I don't know how, but they did.
I don't know how they won either last week.
That's my problem. I don't know how they're winning when they do, and I don't know how when they should be winning they're losing.
It's a goofy-ass team right now. We're at week 17, and I'm a little sad at that because that's the end of the season. But let's go back to week 3, before the games were played week 3. Jacksonville sitting at 2-0, coming off a victory over the Patriots in New England.
Yeah. I was feeling really good about my Super Bowl pick at that show, yes.
I mean, it's like, hey, man, Jags, they're for real. And the wheels fell off that wagon like, yes, like that. Yes, like that. what about that? The yes, like that?
Yes, okay. Yes. It's specifically the twist yes, as like, you're doing yes. the yes.
Well, that's from an old Eddie Murphy movie called The Golden Child.
Yes.
Remember that?
I do remember
where
Golden Child.
Where the devil, and he's like, yes, like that.
Mm-hmm. That's not something I've seen
me do.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. We're Houston across the board. We'll move on to the Los Angeles Chargers traveling to Denver to face the Denver Broncos.
Oh, what could have been.
The Broncos, who lost to Oakland inexplicably, and the Chargers, who are probably kicking themselves in the feet right now.
Yeah.
Kicking themselves in the feet? kicking themselves in the butt right now.
Yeah,
because had they taken care of business against the Ravens, they'd be sitting with the number one seed.
Right.
Say, everybody's coming to L.A. Now
our dream of having 23,000 people in a soccer stadium has been potentially lost. It's not gone. But
if the Chargers take care of business here, Oakland, fresh off their life after beating Denver last week,
might
go into Arrowhead and beat Kansas City. Let's stick to reality here. Chargers at Denver. I got L.A.
Denver just looked horrible.
They looked bad. Did you remember
seeing that? We're going after the same thing. The picture of Elway with the gloves.
No, I didn't see that picture. I was actually the picture of Elway up in the box, looking like, what have I done?
You didn't see that. You didn't hear all the jokes about the black gloves and everything.
No, I didn't see.
So Elway, up in the box and down on the field, had black men's gloves, leather gloves on.
Isotoners?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there were a lot of jokes made about, you know, the poor play on the field and how, you know, he looks kind of like a hitman. Well, then, of course,
Getting ready to take out
whoever he needs to on that team. And then, of course, the jokes start coming about OJ when you start adding a white Bronco into the joke.
And there is a white Bronco in the stadium.
There are plenty of white Broncos in that stadium, yes, including John himself. So,
but if anyway, the glove doesn't fit, you must have quit. Just remember that.
Yeah, well, sure. Unless you've got pictures of him in the gloves already, right? Anyway, yeah, so they just look horrible last
week. Where are we going? This week, I don't know, it's week 17. You can tell, obviously, people, it's week 17.
We have a lot of confidence in our picks this week.
We are rare form. You and I have the Chargers, but Lady Edith
somehow
thinks the Denver Broncos are going to prevail in this one. I just feel sorry for the Chargers. I feel bad for the Chargers. They could potentially be sitting there at 12-4 with the second best record in the AFC. And
the five seed.
And you're the fifth seed, and you're going on the road. You're going to have to go play either Houston or New England in their house, and you have a better record.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm Houston or New England, I don't want the Chargers coming in.
No.
They're a dangerous team, but yeah, still feel bad. But you'd feel bad the other way around. I mean, if it's the Chiefs and the season they've had, and they're in the fifth season.
Absolutely, too. Yeah, they got it. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But LA for you and I, and Denver for Lady Edith. Moving on, the Oakland Raiders travel to Arrowhead to face the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City across the board here.
Lady Edith's got Kansas City, too. Look, Oakland was great. I think it was the emotion of, look, this is the last time we were going to play in this hole.
Yep.
I just said hole and didn't say anything else. It's the last time we're going to play in this hole. Let's give them a show. And they went out and they gave them a show, and they beat the Broncos. And to be honest with you, I saw maybe 5 minutes of that game.
Yep.
That's all I had time for.
I might have seen 3 minutes and then a whole bunch of Twitter coverage about black gloves and white Broncos.
It was Christmas Eve, and we have, I guess this was the third annual Christmas Eve Korean barbecue dinner that the Mirandas have.
I like that idea.
Yeah. You want to join us for fourth year next year?
We've taken on pizza, but
pizza.
We used to do Chinese.
Oh, okay.
And then the place we went to closed down.
Oh.
So then we started joining some friends for Round Table Pizza.
Pizza, okay.
And
yeah.
Never go to Round Table Pizza, and they've got video games. It's fun.
So this was first year was just, you know, me, Trish, and the girls. Second year, Grandma joined in. And that's what it's been the last couple of years. It's just been the family and Grandma. So it's just a lot of fun, and they had the game up, you know, in the restaurant, but.
But Korean barbecue, there's enough other action going on.
Yeah,
just at your table.
And I'm grilling. Yeah. You know, I'm the grill master. You know.
Yeah, you're working.
Give me some more prime rib. Yeah, it was delicious. It was delicious. I don't see Oakland. I mean, could they do it 2 weeks in a row?
They could. I don't see how they do it, but they could.
I mean,
that's the problem with this week.
What does
Kansas City do?
Well, what if Kansas City looks at the Charger score and they're like, they're losing.
Doesn't matter.
Let's pull Mahomes. We don't want to get this kid hurt. It's crazy. It's going to be a crazy week. So if week 15 was crazy and last week was super bonkers, what's going to be week 17? Like, I got to come up with another word.
We're going to have to see how it turns out.
Well, that's true, too. The San Francisco
49ers. For all we know, we're going to go 16-0 on our picks.
Well, I would go 16-0.
Well, we both can't. I understand that.
Yeah. Because I need the 16-0. You have a two-game lead, and we only differ on three games. So I have to get all three games.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about this.
Shut up. But
yeah, I'm not
the challenge game.
Well,
I got to pick a challenge game.
You do.
All right. The San Francisco 49ers travel to Los Angeles to face the Rams.
This is like that Jets-New England game. It's just San Francisco has played hard. Like
They have. And it's 2 weeks ago they beat Seattle and kind of like we're like, whoa, where did that come from?
There's no reason why we wouldn't pick the Rams here.
Except Lady Edith picked San Francisco.
She did. I don't know why.
I mean, but she did not
give me an explanation there. But that much like the Oakland Kansas City game, who knows? I mean, the Rams should win this.
Yes.
They should put their starters out there for a quarter and a half, take a big enough lead, and then the backups who are playing for contracts next year, for bigger contracts with other teams, whatever it happens to be, are going to play just well enough that we're not going to have a problem. But who knows? I mean, we could be here a week from now laughing that the Rams lost to San Francisco, 35-10. I don't know.
Laughing all the way. I got the Rams. I don't think San Francisco comes in here into the Coliseum to win. But then you might be right. What if McVay pulls everybody at halftime?
Yeah.
Let's say they have a 14, 15, 16 point lead and he pulls everybody at halftime and then something miraculously happens and Mullins balls out in the second half and they win the game.
Yeah.
You can't like in the fourth quarter bring your starters back that you sat down, right?
Right.
So
either you play to win the game, you leave them in the entire game, or at some point you pull them and say, if we end up losing, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
And if that means, as we talk about the next game, dropping from the 2 to the 3 seed,
we're okay with that. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting. I've never seen Week 17 have 11 games mean something. There's 11 games on our schedule that mean 11 out of 16 that means something to somebody.
Right.
Which you have to win your game so that someone below you doesn't leapfrog you.
There's a lot of action week 17.
That is a lot of action. We have the Rams, and for the first time in a really long time, as far as I can remember, Lady Edith has not taken the Rams and taken the San Francisco 49ers. I think on that pick, she was just being a little ornery, and she swapped it on you.
Yeah, I asked her two or three times, are you sure? And she kept her pick. She was confident in that pick.
The Chicago Bears, Chicago, go to Minnesota to face the Vikings. This is what I believe, and I'm just going to jump right out here because you and I, we had a little discussion about this game.
We had a preview,
game, as far as the NFC is concerned, this is the game that's going to determine everything else in the NFC. Because if the Bears just go into this game and say, look, I'd much rather play the Minnesota Vikings than a hot Philadelphia Eagles team that has won possibly 3-4 in a row coming into the playoffs, and now all of a sudden the defending Super Bowl champions say, hey, look, we somehow managed to get into the playoffs. Let's get on a roll, and now we got a hot Nick Foles coming into town. No, 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 we want to do that. Let's just stay number 3. We'll lose this game. Minnesota wins. They're the 6th seed. And We know Minnesota. We play them twice a year. We don't show them anything in this game. And then next week, we take care of business and we'll take care of Minnesota because they'll be in our house. We'll be at home. We've taken care of them already. We can do it again. Or do they come out, start everybody, ball out, we're going to win. We're going to put the pressure on the Rams. We're going to force the Rams to play hard and win their game against San Francisco, and we're going to take care of business. We're going to beat Minnesota, and we don't care if it's Seattle or Minnesota or Philadelphia that comes in here next week. We're going to take care of business. We're going to win, and we're going to play hard. Or they play the first half, see how it's going, and then decide at halftime, based on the score of the Ram game, what they do. I think the Chicago Bears control all the other games and everything else that needs to happen in the NFC for playoff seeding.
I mean, other than the Saints.
Yeah, the Saints and the Cowboys are locked in. They can't move.
Right.
But they control the Vikings.
They control the Vikings, the Rams,
and the Seahawks.
Seattle.
And themselves.
And, well, in Philadelphia, sort of.
And what happens to the Eagles. So there's five teams that the Bears potentially can affect by what it is they do in this football game.
And you know Minnesota's going all in.
Right. They have, because they have to win.
Win. I mean, if they lose,
they can still get in
if Philly loses, right?
If Philly loses, yes, that is correct.
Right. So
if Philly loses, they're 8-8.
Minnesota
would get in at 8-7-1.
They control their own destiny. And frankly, as you look through all of these games of some sort of importance, Minnesota is the only team playing a good team to affect their playoff chance.
Yes, that is correct.
You got New England against the Jets. The Jets stink. You've got Houston, Jacksonville. Jacksonville stinks. Chargers, Denver. Oakland, San Francisco. The Bengals, Arizona, Washington.
We'll get to that one in a minute. They got extra motivation as well.
But it's really, Minnesota is the only team playing a good, very solid playoff team.
Yes.
They're the only ones playing a playoff team to get in, right?
Yes, that is correct.
And Minnesota hasn't beaten a team with a winning record all season.
And they need this one.
Right. Their wins, their eight wins, have come against the bottom half
teams
of the league.
With losing records, correct.
Right. So if they're going to be in the playoffs, if they think they're going to do anything, they've got to show that they can beat good teams.
Right.
They haven't been able to do that all season, which is odd, given our picks. Am I talking us into switching them?
I don't know, because I think we got Minnesota. Lady Edith's got Chicago, and I think Lady Edith might be right on this one. At the end of the day, I think Chicago
is by far the better team.
Yes, and they will handle their business.
3 weeks ago, if this game is played, Chicago blows Minnesota out, even at Minnesota.
I'm going to be honest. I'm Chicago. I'm going to take my chances with the team that I'm very familiar with in the Minnesota Vikings.
Right.
I maybe come out and play the first quarter, maybe the second quarter. I'm like, you know what? I'm not getting anybody hurt. I'm going to sit everybody. If we lose this game, I'm okay with Minnesota coming back at us next week because we know them. And we can take care of business. And that's, I think, with the Bears. Unless they look up at the scoreboard and it's, you know, and they see it's San Francisco 27, Rams 6.
Yeah.
If they see that score, then they're going to be like, oh, it's on now. It's on like Donkey Kong. We're going to go win this game because we could be number 2. But outside of that happening, which likelihood of that happening is not going
to
happen, I just still think Chicago controls the destiny of pretty much everybody else in the NFC except the Saints and Dallas.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that Chicago takes the chance that they'll bring Minnesota back next week.
Yeah.
The W versus the W don't, right?
Yeah.
They know the Vikings. They know they've game planned against them twice a year.
And to be honest, that defense, the game that they played earlier in the year in Chicago, they were all over the quarterback, man.
Yeah.
I mean, Cousins looked lost.
Yeah.
And got hit often.
And I don't see.
I don't know what we're going to get. If Philadelphia beats Washington and we beat Minnesota, then we get Philadelphia. I don't know if we know Philadelphia enough.
Well, Philly coming off 4-game winning streak.
Yeah.
St. Nick running the show again with the emotion and history that you had just a year ago with him making a run this point in the season. Yeah. I think Chicago just they've had a great season.
Let's not tempt that line. Let's not have to go through. We don't have to go through that. So why are we even going to potentially let it be?
We know Minnesota has not won against a good team. We know them well. We know we can beat them. We've got the confidence we can beat them. Let's put our backups out there. If they happen to win the game, good for them. We're happy for them. But let's save the fireworks for next week when we bring Minnesota back down to Soldier Field and kick their butt in Wild Card Week.
I'm with you on that. But so for that, I'm taking Minnesota.
As am I. Yep.
But Lady Edith has got the Bears. We're going to start moving a little quickly as we've hit the one-hour mark. The Cincinnati Bengals travel to Pittsburgh to face the Steelers. I got Pittsburgh.
Yep.
Just because Cincinnati has looked really bad, and they're playing some quarterback that I want to make fun of his name every time I hear it. Driscoll. I mean, A.J. Green has been out for the last several weeks. Obviously, no Dalton. Their defense just gives up way too many points.
They're 1-6 in the last 7.
They're not beating Pittsburgh. I got the Steelers.
They beat Oakland.
And the Steelers actually have desire, and they know what they need to do. They need to win. Who cares what happens over there? You know, we're not even going to be looking at the Ravens-Browns game. We're just going to take care of our business. We'll win, and then we'll let everything else.
Steelers aren't waiting for, you know, if halftime it looks like the Ravens are losing, that they're going to pull their – no, they're –
They're going all out.
Short of injury, their starters are in there.
Yep, they're going to win this football game. And we all have Pittsburgh across the board. We'll move on to Seattle, where the Seahawks host the Arizona Cardinals. Well, I was going to take Arizona here. But then I saw Seattle is at home. You would bait me into making it the challenge game. No, I'm just kidding. I was taking Arizona. I was never taking Arizona. I got Seattle. I think I've learned my lesson. As many times as Seattle has burned me in the Pacific Northwest, not just in challenge games against you this year, which is 4, by the way.
You're welcome.
Jeff used to take them a lot, too, and they would burn me. But maybe I just haven't learned my lesson with Pete Carroll in Seattle. I really thought they were dead. I did not envision them at 9-6 making the playoffs. It's crazy, but here they are. They're going to be 10-6. They're going to be the fifth seed, going to probably Dallas.
Now, can they?
They cannot.
If they lose, can they drop to the sixth?
No, I think they're locked. They're not locked. They're not locked yet, because if they lose, they'd be 9-7, and Minnesota would win.
9-6.
There would
and
be
one.
9-6-1. They would leapfrog them.
Right.
So they're not locked into 5. They have, you know, obviously with a win, they're locked into 5.
Yep.
But if they were to lose, Minnesota could leapfrog them, and then they'd have to go to Chicago. So, but it's Arizona, man. Arizona's been, I don't want to say stinky poo poo because that's pretty mean, but.
Because if Minnesota loses, Philly wins. They're both then, and Seattle loses. They're both 9-7, and Seattle, I think, maintains the tiebreak there.
Yes, I think they beat Philly.
Yeah. So all right. So only Minnesota can leapfrog them.
Yeah. Or they not a head to head record, but a conference record.
Yeah, it's
they have the tiebreaker.
Yeah, we've all got Seattle here.
Seattle all across the board. I just don't see Arizona. They've showed nothing.
They don't have a reason to sit most of their team, but they're not going to throw everything. They're not going to throw the kitchen sink here at Arizona. And they don't need to. It's Arizona coming into Seattle
Arizona
in December.
And the thing is, Arizona's, you know, they're playing for the number one pick right now.
I think they already have the number one pick.
Do they? Well, they have the number one pick right now, but if they were to win, they could potentially lose it.
True, yeah.
Yes, so.
Because the Jets could maybe.
Yeah, the Jets, Oakland, and San Francisco are all 4-11, and there'd be
yeah
whatever kind of strength of schedule thing that they do there. So
yep, okay.
Yeah, I say Arizona gets a loss, and they will be lock themselves in to number. You know, they'll be on the clock.
Yes,
for the draft.
They'll have plenty of time to decide who they're going to take first.
The Philadelphia Eagles travel to Washington to face the Redskins. And just, you know, as much as I want to cheer for Josh Johnson, I never would because he's a Redskin. We've already made that very clear earlier in the show. I got the Eagles. They found some life. I don't think they get in because I think Minnesota's actually going to win the football game. But to climb back to 8-8, the fact that they put themselves in a position where just a few weeks ago, it looked like they were going to be the first defending Super Bowl champ since like 2003 to follow up the following season with a losing record. Now they're not going to have a losing record. There's going to be 9-7, but I think they're not getting into the dance. Sure. They're going to fall yep. short. There were a couple losses there that really crushed them. But they'll take care of Washington. Just, you know, Washington too. I thought they were gonna just lose every game ever since Colt McCoy went down, and they found a way to beat Jacksonville. They found a way to still stick in and be in close football games. I just don't see them beating Philadelphia.
No, I think Philadelphia has enough to play for here. They've got enough emotion behind Nick that they're gonna pull this one off. But again, it could go either way. These guys
one,
know each
two,
other well.
Three,
so.
Four, five, six, seven, 8 late games. 8 games, and they all have playoff implications. I have to find a way to have 8 screens. I'm just going to have to do it.
Yep.
I don't know how I'm going to do it yet.
Good luck with that.
But I'm going to find a way to do it. All right. We have the Eagles, and Lady Edith is taking the Redskins. Final late game, final game with playoff implications. The Cleveland Browns at 7-7-1 travel to Baltimore to face the Ravens. Now, I would love to see the new Cleveland Browns take it to the old Cleveland Browns. Did you know that Jarvis Landry did not know that? They had to explain that to him in a press conference with media today. he was like, wait a minute, what? It's like, the Baltimore Ravens are the original Cleveland Browns. And Art Modell took them out of Cleveland and put them in Baltimore. But because there was so much uproar from the community and from the city of Cleveland that the league said, Art, you can take your team to Baltimore, but you're not the Baltimore Browns. The colors, the team, the stats, everything for Cleveland Browns stays in Cleveland. We will eventually put a team back there, which
yep.
they did. Expansion around 1999, but Baltimore. So this is the new Browns versus the old Browns, and the new Browns and the fans of the new Browns would love to stick it to the old Browns by not letting them go to the playoffs.
Yes,
and beating.
And this is the first time in a long time that the
Browns could have a winning record.
Yeah,
8-7-1 winning record.
Could you imagine? We didn't have them anywhere near that at the beginning of the season.
No. I think I had them with 4 wins, and I think you might have even had
5.
Them.
Maybe.
So same thing. Let's pull them up right now. You had them. I actually had them at 7-9. I feel okay because they're 7-7-1. They got the 7 wins. They got the 7 wins. I told you. You had them at 5-11. But
were so invested in that 7 wins that you
7 wins. I could have put money because you know the over under was 6 in Vegas.
Yeah,
I could have put money on them. Man. I would have won. I would have won with my 7 wins.
But you remembered it so much that
I did.
You've been
I thought
bragging
I had,
about that for
I
weeks.
Thought I had
2 weeks now, right? I'm gonna get there. I got there. No,
I still
you
had them.
You thought you had them as 4 wins,
but
ago.
I had them above the Bengals. That's
you
all
did,
I
yes.
know. So did you. Why did we know the Bengals were going to suck so bad?
I don't know.
I mean, we both
and
had the Bengals last.
I mean, we picked the AFC North dead on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Well, no, the Steelers. Well, I mean, we got the Steelers winning the division.
Well.
By a couple games. I had the Ravens at least at 10-6. You had them at 8-8.
All right. Maybe I didn't give the Ravens enough credit.
No one gave them. I mean, come on. Really, nobody really gave them credit. I had them as a wild card of the sixth seed in the AFC. Man, this is crazy.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's for next week.
That is for next week's show. Oh, this Jacksonville Jaguars, it's really just gnawing at me. It's gnawing at me. I had them at 11-5. You had them at 12-4. It's gnawing at me.
And they're the exact inverse of those.
Gnawing!
All right.
All we got to do is flop the Colts and the Jags, and we'll be all right. Let's just do that. I can go back in and edit the code. Yeah.
Just do voiceovers on the...
Yeah. Go back and, you know, re-record the...
Except I'm going to do your part, you'll do mine. That way people are just... The poor people who are going back to listen to it.
Well, wait, they didn't say that. Yes, they did. All right, we've got Baltimore all the way across the board.
Yeah, I think Cleveland is exciting. They're fun. Baker is growing up in...
Hopefully he grows up.
He's growing up in the X's and O's, maybe not on the off-the-field BS, but or the not-behind-center BS.
He's looked sharp. And look, I'm going to cheer for him.
The Browns could win this game.
I'm going to cheer for him to throw his 3 touchdown passes because I would love for him to see him break the record.
Yep.
For TD passes by a rookie. That would be awesome. I know Baltimore knows we cannot screw this up. We can screw this up by losing this game. We lose this game.
Yep.
And we're out. Let's not tempt fate. Yeah, let's just take care of
business. They're not scoreboard watching. They're not.
They don't have to
they're,
do any
they're
of that.
Just going
they
out
just
to
know
win. They know they've know, they know they got the Browns coming in who are tough right now. They don't care who's doing what anywhere else. They're going to go beat the Browns and that's it.
Literally their victory over the Chargers last week and the Ravens front office giving Harbaugh the extension before the game, basically making whether he's going to get fired or not a non-issue, saying go out there and take care of business. They did. They really stymied the Chargers. I think they scored 22-10 was the final. From the first play of the game, Rivers interception. It was just
does Harbaugh is he coaching the Ravens next year?
Well, yeah, they gave him an extension.
Did they give him an extension?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay,
So prior to the game,
the announcement they didn't say that. They said that he is the coach through the end of the season.
No.
I don't know that they actually said they were going to give him an extension.
On Friday, prior to that Saturday game against the Chargers, they extended him through 2020, I believe, is what was said. So they kind of made it known that there is no – you don't have to worry about your job for next year.
Okay.
Was that
– Oh, no. They were working on a contract extension. Many took that to mean the return for the coach who was on the hot seat just a few weeks ago. But looking a little closer at the wording, you'll see that there's enough of a gap there to indicate that Harbaugh might not return at all. That's what I'm saying is I don't think they said they signed an extension. The Ravens committed that they want Harbaugh back, that he is the coach through the end of the year and they want him back. But they did not say we have a contract extension.
All right. So here's – well, what is that? Stupid website. All right. Here we go. So here's the statement from the Baltimore Ravens. John Harbaugh will continue as our head coach for the 2019 season, and he and we are working on an extension to his existing contract, which expires after the 2019 season.
Right.
So through next year, he's the coach. He's going to be our coach through the 2019 season. That's
sure.
His current contract goes through 2019.
Okay.
He will coach us through 2019. And we're trying to extend him after that. So, yes. So, I guess the logistics is they haven't given him the extension.
My question is, so the Ravens have basically said, yes, we want you back. We're going to work on an extension.
Right.
Theoretically, I guess the Ravens could make that, you know, not as happy or not as good of a contract as Harbaugh
right,
would want.
So that Harbaugh could,
but,
yeah.
But really my point of asking the question is more from Harbaugh's standpoint.
Does he
play out the rest of this season, next season on his contract, and then go into the open marketplace as essentially a free agent coach to see what he could get someplace else?
I don't think the Ravens would do that. I think they I think, like, let's say that he comes back next year and midway through the season, you know, halfway through the season, first 10 games, they're sitting there at 7-2.
What if they're in the same spot they are this year, where they're right on that cusp? They you know, whether they, like, this year win and you're in, or switch them and the Steelers, where they've got to wait for the Steelers to lose and then they're in.
Right.
So he's just good enough to be on the cusp of the playoffs, but not there. So clearly a good coach. We know he's a good coach. Like,
yeah.
He and McCarthy, we know they're both good coaches. McCarthy probably was just time.
Do you want
to
change?
Was time to go. Is it time to get a fresh start someplace else? So that's really why I'm asking the question of, do you think Harbaugh signs an extension? Maybe Baltimore offers it, but does Harbaugh sign?
Does he actually agree to stay?
Or does he wait and see what he can do? Can he get a better offer? Can he get a Gruden 10-year, $10 million?
He's not getting that from the Ravens.
No, exactly. That he's not getting that type of a. But if he goes to a Bengals, right?
Yeah.
Bengals say, oh, we're done. We've had enough here. And, you know, he goes in saying, look, I want what Gruden got. I want the 10-year commitment that I'm going to have time to rebuild this team, you know, rebuild front office, rebuild the roster, the playbook, everything. And I can't do that in the 2 or 3 years of a short-term contract. I want a 10-year, and they give it to him.
Yep. It's possible. I mean, he'll be a hot coach. If the Ravens were to let him go, he's going to be a hot option somewhere else.
Right. Well, but that's what I'm saying. I don't know that it's the Ravens letting him go. I think it's just him saying, you know, I
think if the Ravens offer him a big 5-year deal, he stays. Less than 5 years, he might take that as a slight.
Sure.
5-year deal, he's staying.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting to see how serious the Ravens are about this.
About him, yeah.
So they clearly, for the sake of last week, this week, playoff potential, they've said he's our coach.
Our coach next
like
year.
They've committed this year for sure. They've committed, you know, probably next year
going
as well.
Through his contract.
Right. I mean, to your point, if he's 2-8 in the first 10 weeks next year, they might let him go.
Right.
But they've clearly committed to him.
Yep.
But it's. They don't necessarily have to come to terms on whatever their
They're saying we're working on extension on the
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Sidetracked there, but had to ask.
We all have Baltimore, including Lady Edith. Real quickly, games with no playoff implications. We got Carolina at New Orleans. New Orleans is locked in at number one. I doubt they're going to play a lot of people. Maybe Sean Payne has them come out for a series or two. But regardless, Carolina, with whoever it is they're throwing out at quarterback.
If Cam was starting the game, we'd feel differently. But
I don't know. Even then, I got New Orleans. You got New Orleans. Lady Edith has Carolina, however. Then Dallas at New York Giants. The Cowboys going to New York to face the Giants. I know Jason Garrett, he's probably not going to play the starters. Maybe he's learned his lesson. Maybe they play a little bit. Maybe they play the first half. Just to keep them fresh. Look, if it were me, they play the entire game because I need that offense to be out there as much as possible so they can continue to get into sync. But I know that they've got some guys that are banged up. I think probably what he does is if you're banged up a little, even a little bit, you're not going.
Yeah.
You're going to sit. I just can't pick myself to take the Giants, so I got to take Dallas.
Well, in any other week, in any other situation, this is an easy pick for Dallas, but – I'm going with you that it's on the road. It's they don't have anything they're necessarily playing for.
Nothing. Doesn't mean that
starters go out for a series or two, three. I mean, this is week three of the preseason for them, right? It's play a couple of series to get in sync and then pack it in and that's it. So that I've got the Giants only because of that fact.
But I think the Giants too. I think the Giants will probably not play people that you know have had injuries all year, so. Odell Beckham's not going to be out there. They probably will play Saquon Barkley just because to try and get him some more stats. I don't know. You could take the Giants. That's okay.
Yeah.
I'll take Dallas. Lady Edith.
It's not a confidence that the Giants are better than the Cowboys right now. It's just who they're benching. So.
All right, and we've got 3 U-Haul games because we're quickly running out of time. The Miami Dolphins travel to Buffalo to face the Bills. I've got Buffalo.
I've got Buffalo.
Lady Edith has Miami. Why are they U-Haul games, Steve?
because they're done with the game and their U-Hauls are already packed to head home.
Ready to go home. Both teams in these games don't have anything to play for. Detroit at 5-10 traveled to Green Bay to face the 6-8-1 Packers.
All three of us have Green Bay.
Green Bay all the way. Lions just calling it for them. And then finally, Atlanta at Tampa Bay. I got the Falcons.
I've got Tampa Bay. Yep.
Have Tampa Bay. I just think Atlanta. Tampa Bay is so up and down. I'm gonna stick with the Falcons. So I got either. Oh gosh. So you know what has to be the challenge game, right? I can't make Dallas Giants or Atlanta Tampa Bay the challenge game.
Right.
So it's gonna have to be El Juego Gigante Estupendo de la Semana, the huge giant game of the week. Indy at Tennessee. I've got the Colts. You've got the Titans. And now we definitely have to have dinner together because we're going to be fighting.
Yes, we
are. As we watch this game. No lock this week, people. These lines are crazy. And without knowing what people are going to do for sure, it's hard to bet. I will not actually be placing a wager this week. Even though I was 3-1 last week, I was pretty good. That's all the time we got. We went way overboard.
We've been having way too much fun for week 17.
Because we don't want it to end, but it has to end at some point.
Getting excited here. I mean,
it's playoff time, baby.
Next week is going to be a fun show.
Playoff time.
We've got four games to cover next week.
Yeah, so we could.
And somehow we're still going to go an hour and 20 minutes, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you had a very Merry Christmas. And the next time you hear our show, it'll be 2019, baby.
Can't believe it's already 19.
Happy New Year. I'm Stephen Miranda.
I'm Steve Fry.
And you've been listening to NFL Rants and Raves. We're out.